V-minus 42. Plaza de la Revolucion, Havana, Cuba. It just doesn't make sense, Dan said, still ruminating on his apparent short-term amnesia a full hour after first telling Emma about it. They were now sitting alone together in the back of a secure vehicle that was slowing to a halt at the spot where Dan would get out. Of course it doesn't, Emma replied, but just try to remember what we talked about, okay? There are a hell of a lot of things we don't know right now, but we know a lot more than anyone else. The messengers gave you a gift to help us through a turbulent time, and if these symptoms are a side effect, then we just have to deal with them. None of that changes what we came here to do, and it's something the messengers will correct as soon as they can. Try to trust them. They already saved us once. Dan nodded. He did trust them. But that wasn't the problem. The problem, as he saw it, was that there might be a scenario in which the messengers wanted to return, but couldn't. If the problem with their elders prevented them from coming back, would he be stuck like this? One of the symptoms, plural, that Emma alluded to was self-evidently Dan's complete inability to remember any of the previous day. The other, more manageable but still unsettling, was the most prolonged migraine-like headache of Dan's life. He could only put this down to the mental exertion of having listened to Godfrey and Slater's thoughts during those forgotten hours, something Emma reminded him of in great detail, and he was therefore more than a little concerned about how he would feel during and after his telepathic cross-examination of ELF Western Secretary John Cole. Dan couldn't remember anything about the government-implanted chip in his neck being removed by a GCC doctor before he returned to the plane to leave Buenos Aires, but Emma assured him he had listened to the doctor's thoughts at the time and had trusted her completely. Emma's chip had been removed too, so it seemed unlikely that the very straightforward and almost painless removal procedure was in any way responsible for his symptoms. What Dan understood least of all was why the previous day was absent from his memory, but the one before it wasn't. If everything since the messenger's recent visit and Dan's recent empowerment had been lost to the recesses of his mind, that would have been unsettling, but at least comprehensible. As it was, he didn't even have comprehensibility to fall back on. In light of all of this, the high-profile and internationally televised interview that Dan was about to conduct with Cole wasn't playing on his mind in and of itself. He was here to find out what Cole was thinking, and particularly, what he did or didn't know about the triangles that would soon be paraded in Beijing. How Dan came across in the interview wasn't even a secondary concern, because he had no motive beyond leaving Cuba with an insight he couldn't get anywhere else. Emma, prior to knowing how little he was worrying about this part of the matter, had tried to ease Dan's mind by showing him some social media meta-analysis data which revealed that the general public were understandably far more fixated on what was soon going to be revealed in China than what struck many as just another media appearance in Cuba. Needless to say, none had any idea that the forthcoming interview was anything but run-of-the-mill.
"My voice will be in your head and your head will be in the game," Emma whispered as a security official opened her door upon their arrival at Havana's famous Plaza de la Revolución. "We'll work through everything else together until the messengers come back, but this is what we came for."
Dan nodded, trying to look and feel more confident than he really was.
"We've got this," Emma went on, squeezing his hand and smiling sweetly. "I love you, Dan McCarthy, and there's nothing we can't do."